John Cornacchio and I went to a conference in November last year, and they were talking about kingdom builders, and they were encouraging it as a way to increase generosity and to encourage spontaneous, generous giving and living. And I was impressed with it. But I can tell you that where I stand today, I can explain it just a little bit better than I used to. And I want to try to do that in the next couple moments. But before that, a word from our sponsor. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I'm hoping to encourage you to redirect treasure to the kingdom of God and the advancement of the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then he said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?'" How many of you ate well today? Thank you so much, all who provided this. I looked at Judy yesterday and I said, "Do you realize how exciting it is that I had nothing to do with the food? That's awesome. What shall we eat? What shall we drink?" I don't know what she said, but I'm not going to give her a chance. "What shall we wear?" These are the three things I ask myself every Sunday morning when I get ready to come to church. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. And he's saying to them, this is, you know, the people outside the covenant of God, they're looking for all that stuff. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." This is exactly what Gary was saying. He didn't realize he had a Father in heaven who knew what he needed. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, they shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." So what Jesus did was he upgraded the honoring God with the tithe. Like, that's a beginning. But he's saying, first of all, seek the kingdom. So in every decision I make, you know, it's got to filter through my brain. What is kingdom and what is righteous? In every decision I got to make, what is kingdom and what is righteous? I got to tell you a story. Some of you heard this story. On Palm Sunday, I shared this, but I want to share it again very quickly. I was invited to a pastor's prayer just down the road here at the old Church of God. And I didn't realize it at the time how much money they had poured into that old building. And they completely renovated it. So it was a combination of new and old, but they put money into that building. And let me tell you, that building sat empty for years. Some of you know that at one point we helped them monthly to try to keep the church alive. And I believe that God has honored that. But what has happened is that they, during COVID, when churches were shutting down, they took the money from buildings that they were selling, and the money that they were spending on the building in Union Deposit for their headquarters, and they decided to put all that money into this little building down here and move down here and save themselves some money. And I thank God for that. So I was there. There's a half a dozen of us praying. And people were praying kingdom prayers, good stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And while I was minding my own business, you know, like, I don't know if you're ever in that situation. Maybe, John, you certainly probably can identify with it. When you're praying with leaders sometimes, you just kind of wait for someone to pick up the on-ramp, you know, like there's a signal that they're going to pray next, you know. And I just determined not to do that. I'm like, God, unless you have something to pray, I'm just along for the ride, and I'll agree with their prayers. And while I was in that moment of just focusing on the Lord and what they were praying and agreeing with them, I began to see a big red button. Is like not as big as this table, but it was big. And a big finger, bigger than the button. And it was headed for the button. The finger was almost on the button. And I heard the word divine reset. And I'm like, that could be God. And I said to the pastors who were there, I said, listen, I want to pray something, but I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. During COVID, people were talking about a reset, and, you know, it wasn't good. Don't confuse this with that. And I explained to them, and I don't know if they, believe or agree, you know, that the Spirit can sometimes do that. I think we probably know that He can speak to us in all kinds of ways, but they were kind of into it, and we just started to pray into that, that God would begin a divine reset, and it was focused on the church. In the church, like we're in a place, they reset the building, and they know that we've got to reach people for Jesus Christ. We've got to disciple them, and then we got to pass it on to another generation. They know that because they're like holding on with their fingertips, praying for a revival or something that would cause an impetus, something that would get people motivated to begin, evangelizing and discipling and whatever, you know, right? With me so far? So as we're praying this, I walked out of that building that day, and the thought has not left. I'm going to say something very sensitive. All of you have seen over the past too many Christian leaders fall. Too many men and women of God fall, right? It's always been there, but like all of a sudden, it's like really there. And I'm praying about this, and God said, it's a part of the reset. It's a part of the reset. And He told me, He said, this is a time to keep your eyes on Jesus and your head low, because heads are coming off. And I'm like, yes, sir. So I think, I might be wrong, but I think that even though way back in November, John and I stumbled onto something, and at the beginning of the year I started talking to you about, I think that this is part of what's next. I think God wants to reset my value system. I think He wants to reset how I view money. And it starts with tithes and offerings, but it doesn't end there. So I just want to answer the question, what is Kingdom Builders? But first of all, let me share with you a term. So a couple of terms. One is, what does the kingdom of God, what does that mean? It's the empire of God. It's the rulership of God. And it expands as the church proclaims the lordship of Jesus Christ. So, you know, Jesus came announcing the kingdom. So we're to proclaim the finished work of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and then Jesus builds the church. But in the process, the kingdom is expanded. One heart, one life, one village at a time, right? So we're talking about something bigger than the church. God help us if our church becomes the kingdom. The church is the bride of Christ, and she announces Jesus and His lordship, and when we do, He expands the kingdom, and He builds the church. You want to go there? I want to be a part of that movement. That would be a reset right now. because we all have traditions and stuff we're so familiar and so comfortable with. Second term would be, what does the word tithe mean? It's really no brainer. It means tenth. It's like the first tenth of your income. This is an Old Testament, even before the Old Testament, a pattern of giving that men and women of God and men and women of faith have used all down through the years. And I think that I just want to say that in the New Testament, it's like the starting place. It's not the ending place. It's like the starting place. The early church, they sold their houses and laid the money down so that other people could live. You know, this is huge. But the tithe literally means tenth. And I just want to correct something. We do not owe tithes. We do not pay tithes. We honor God with the tithe. It is a sign between me and God. There's not going to be a line item on your budget that says, you owe God. Well, if we did the you owe God part, it would be everything, right? So don't think of paying tithes. Think of honoring God with tithes. That's the starting point, okay? So then what is an offering? An offering is every dollar given to God past the tithe. Now, we just say we're going to take an offering, but that's general. So guess what? You know, like people can, they can tithe, or they can give offerings, or they can whatever, and we just call it offerings. But it's actually technically an offering, and this was defined for us in the Old Covenant. The offering was the next dollar after the tithe. And I want to say that that is the area of kingdom building, because the tithe supports the local church. Every dollar given past that is what extends and expands the kingdom. So what is happening in churches all across our country is that people are dipping into their operating income to do outreach. And it's a recipe for failure and bankruptcy. So, when we talk kingdom builders, we're talking about the next dollar after you tithe. Clear? One last thing. I do want to mention this. This is like the Lord's dealing with my heart. He's speaking to me. How many of you know I'm on a journey just like you? I'm learning from him as I walk with him just like you, right? And this is what he's telling me right now. He says, Pastor Rich, you need to understand that my money, would you say my money or your money, our money is only money until it's given to God. When our money is in our pocket, it's only money. But once it's given into God's pocket through the local church, once we do that, or ministries, once we put it in God's hand, now it's not just money. It's a testimony, and it's a tool for expanding the kingdom of God, because those dollars turns into outreach and efforts to change and transform the world. So what we have done in the past, we called a faith promise. As you believe God to enable you, then you give something extra beyond the tithe, and we will support missions with that. What I like about this is that this is so much bigger than that. We're thinking local missions, we're thinking foreign missions, and leadership development for the future, which is investing in the work of God in the church as we continue on. Amen? We're in a good table, we're in a good space here. Still with me? I don't know. Come to church, you sort of expect them to talk about money, but we don't talk about money around here very much. But today we're talking about money. But I want you to understand that it is only money until it's given to God. Then it's a testimony. It's only money till it's given to God, and then it's a testimony. I expected people just start jumping up and down here. I'll say it one more time, because you're sluggish, you just ate, you know. It's only money until it is given to God. And then it's a testimony and a tool. All right. Okay. All right. So before I introduce John here, I do want to say that there are three areas or three categories, and some people might misunderstand this, so I want to say it once. I don't really expect John to say this, but if he does, he'll be just helping us, you know. But here's the thing is the thing that we're going to ask you to do with your offerings, what we're going to ask you to do with your offerings is to consider, what can I give today, right now? And I don't mean this second, but it could be right now. But what is in your hand, what is in your pocket that you could give to expand the kingdom right now? And then the next thing would be, what do you think God has in his pocket that he might give to you, that you might be able to give? And the third category, and don't think this is the biggest one, because the testimony of people who are incorporating kingdom builders is it's not the large givers, it's everybody giving something. Okay, but what would you dream of giving? So some people have dreamed of selling their whatever, a business, and putting it into the kingdom. Some kids have dreamed of taking their grass-cutting money and turning it into a missions trip, or turning it into a small business that then they give monthly, you know? So you can give monthly, weekly, daily. That's up to you and God. But the point is this. There's like what I could give, and then there's what I want to give, and then there's what I dream about giving. And we'll give you a chance to do any of those, you know? Or all of them, right? So, last slide is yours truly. I'm holding up a check a couple weeks ago. Came to us from local missions. Pete and Fran Einstein, SunPower Ministries. We support them monthly. And God touched their heart to give to Cornerstone something to invest in the future. And I went and I said to them, this is so gracious. Do you have any thoughts about it? And they're like, just however we can bless you. I love when people say, here's money, just however it can bless. You know, that's great. That's undesignated. But here's the thing, is that what I walked away from saying is, this is $2,000. We're going to start the Kingdom Builders Fund with $2,000. It's been deposited into the bank already. There is a category that is going to be on and is on the website and on Tithely and such, and it says Kingdom Builder. So you check off, it's Tithe or it's Kingdom Builder. And so we're starting with $2,000. Now there's a piece of paper that we're going to pass out to you. It's on the table. And it's like what we're committed to right now. And we are all in. We could realize that we walk away from this day or the next couple of weeks and realize that we can't do what we did last year. But last year, we were able to give $8,220 to World Missions. Someone say praise the Lord. And then at the same time, and I got to be honest, I'm looking at Joe and I'm just thinking, you did magic. We gave $8,220 to local missions and ministries like Capillary Pregnancy Center, etc. You know, same exact amount of money. So if we gave $16,000 last year, I'm just thinking in my mind, now there's not a goal, there's not a budget, but I'm just thinking, I feel like the $2,000 should become $20,000. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'll up that. Do you believe that in 10 years it could be $200,000? And I said, oh, God, I can believe a lot. I can believe a lot. So, what Kingdom Builders is giving into that so that we can dream together. Then your elders will divvy the money out as God leads us. And with that, I want you to welcome John Schaefer, Pastor John Schaefer, a good friend and a tremendous brother.
Thank you. I don't think I need to say anything. That was well said. The music set us up perfect. It was worship. And then Rich was very clear. But I have to say something. I have to. My mom used to say, John, you have one mouth and two ears. God made you that way on purpose. Listen more than you speak. But I just want to share just a thought or two. Did you know that God has other books than the Bible? He does. Now, I'm not talking about the Book of Mormon. I'm not talking about the Apocrypha. I'm not talking about... But if you read Revelation, it says, and the books were opened. Yes. Books were opened. And there's the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know if those two are the same. They may be. There's a good argument for that. But there are books. But there is only one book that he has shared with us. And that's the Word of God. Now, I think everybody in here, most people in here, will know the answer to the first question. So say it out loud. How many books are in the Bible? 66, right. So we have one book, but it's made up of 66 books. But did you know that there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible? There are 31,173 verses. I don't know if there's any one verse that is the most important verse. Because if it was, why would we need 31,000? We need many to understand. And even that doesn't tell us everything we will know about God. But I do think there's an argument to be made that there is one verse that points us to everything we need to know about God. And I love John 3:16. I love Genesis 1:1. I love them all. But there's one verse in Ephesians. Now you're thinking, Ephesians? What verse is he thinking about? Ephesians 5:10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. That verse will point you to everything you need to know. When it comes to your eternal security, find out what pleases God. Right? When it deals with how you treat your spouse, find out what pleases the Lord. How you deal with your government, find out what pleases the Lord. How you deal with that person that just cut you off, find out what pleases the Lord. What happens when that light goes on the dashboard? Find out what pleases the Lord. Now that verse has two commands in it. It says, find out what pleases the Lord. But there's two commands. One is obvious. Find it out. Where do you go to find it out? You can ask people, that's one thing. But if you really want to know, you go to the source. You find out what pleases the Lord by going to his word. And he will tell you. He's told us enough. There is so much more that we're going to learn. But what we need, everything we need for godliness is found in this book. Everything we need for life and godliness. That's the first command. Easy to do. Takes time, takes effort, but you can do it. Study God's word. The second command is implied. Do it. Find out what pleases the Lord. Do it. Why would you find out what pleases Almighty God, the God who is the sustainer of life, the God who just let you take that last breath, the God who just lets your heart beat that last beat? Why would you find out what pleases him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who will be coming back? We just celebrated his resurrection, and he's coming back as king. Why would you find out what pleases him and then not do it? I'm sorry, that's stupid. Yeah, Rich, and the leadership of this church has really hit on something, and that's this kingdom building. It's not new. They didn't invent it. If it was new, I'd be skeptical, because there is nothing new under the sun. But it has been forgotten. It has been ignored. It has not been given a chance. What I want to challenge you to do with this kingdom builder's idea is not to set up a thermometer. You've seen this, right, in church? And there's nothing wrong with that. Where you say, we need a new roof on this building, and this is how much we need, and so we're going to put up the thermometer so we can get, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what this is. Okay? We have people that we want to help feed, clothe, and we need this much money. That's a good thing, but that's not what this is. Do you know what this is? This is to take your worship deeper. Amen. This is not for the end result. Because you know what? God's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, whether you get involved or not. But kingdom builders are as you getting in and you claiming your blessings, if you will. And I'm not saying if you give X amount of dollars, you'll get X amount back. I hear that out there, and that's not what this is. This is worship God, because that's what pleases him. That's what pleases him. Now, there's something to be said, and I don't want to minimize it, to glorify. I could tell you stories that happened to me in the past 2 weeks where I saw a need, and I was disappointed because it wasn't fulfilled, and then God came by, and he doubled it. I can think of three things in the past 2 weeks that happened like that with the pregnancy center. Those things happen, but that's not what I'm going to talk about here. The kingdom builders is something different. And the best illustration I can give you for this is my mom. All right? I'm the youngest of four. I'm the best. I was the favorite for a reason. I deserved it. I was a pleaser, as many youngests are. But whenever, and it's a joke in my family now, but whenever I went on a field trip, and back in when I was young, we still went on buses. It wasn't before that. But when we went on field trips probably 2-3 times a year. Not like now. And I always took money along for a souvenir. And my mom would always give me a dollar or two, something for a souvenir. Get yourself a candy bar. And this is no lie. And it became a joke in my family. Every field trip I went on, I bought a present for my mom. I remember in fifth grade, it was the big one. We went to Gettysburg. You always go to Gettysburg in fifth grade. And I remember everybody was buying those wooden guns or the hats and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I bought my mom a blue vase. And she used to say to me, John, here's some money. Don't spend it on me. This is for you. But when I was in the store, all I could think of, oh, my mom would love that. And I would buy my mom a gift. And my brothers and sisters joke about that. No wonder they thought you were the best. But I would. Do you know why I did it? Not because she would give me more money next time. Not because she would do this or she would do that. I did it because I just loved her. Yes. I love my dad too, don't get me wrong. But yes. I just loved her. And I wanted to get her a gift. And at that time, the only time I got money was at my birthday, or if she gave me money for a souvenir. I finally had money, I'd buy her a gift. I wasn't looking for anything back. That's what this is all about. Amen. It's deeper worship. Amen. You love God. Why? Because he first loved you. Why do you love God? He sent his son to die for you. If nobody on earth had ever sinned but you, he still would have sent Jesus to die for you. And he demonstrated his power to raise him from the dead to show that it was approved. I love how Paul says, what kind of people ought we to be? When you have that kind of love demonstrated towards you. And so I want to encourage you, when you take this card and you fill this out, this isn't, let's make a deal, God.